All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday, September 3rd edition of the Jason and John Show. I am Jason Smith. I am joined by John Martin, my partner, my brother from another mother, no question about it. And we are joined by Brad Carson, our executive producer on the ones and twos and the boss around here, program director number one in the country, number one in your hearts. We got a lot to discuss today. It was all smiles down at FedEx Forum. We got a chance to talk about that yesterday as it opened up, as we were opening up the shows. But we'll talk more about it. I saw my man John Martin tweeting about, you know, the columns that were written off of the exhibition game that will take place between Memphis and Arkansas. We'll talk more about that. The NFL season is nearly upon us. A little over 24 hours, we'll have Cowboys and Eagles. And then on Friday, you'll have Chiefs and Chargers. And for those of you all that like, John, I don't know if you saw this, Friday week one games, enjoy this one because this is it. That's law. Do you see that story?
Yeah. So Friday games are done.
Friday to open the season will never be done again due to federal law. It's a story over at The Athletic.
Oh, I do remember hearing about what is like Monopoly. Is that the...
And the antitrust, the broadcast. Yeah. You can't do this anymore on Fridays. High school football is a deep part of it. It's part of it. But the NFL will no longer do this. So enjoy your, what you've been talking all week about this.
Chiefs, I love Friday games.
Chiefs,
they're
Chargers.
Taking it away from me.
In Brazil, they're taking it away from you, at least for week one in the future.
For friggin' preps, so, of course.
Enjoy it.
Nobody's happier about this news than you two.
How are you today?
Well, I am taking precautions. my kids have been sick. I think maybe I've been getting sick. So I appreciate you being cool with me doing the show by Zoom, but you know, I like to believe the show is mostly the same, about 92% the same. You know, that 8%, I would sort of accredit to maybe lag or you can't see me. But other than that, I think the show is basically the same.
It'll be the same. Good. The change, John, just to answer your question, it's the Antitrust Provisions Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. It bans broadcasts of professional football by any station within 75 miles of a high school or college football game. So.
Oh, that's why they have it in Brazil.
Well, I suppose they got around it in with Brazil this year, but they won't. This is gonna, for whatever reason, I think this counts. This will be still be the last Friday. I don't know. Maybe you could still get it done out of the country, but as far as I'm reading, this will be it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be missed, and we'll live it up, man. We'll live it up on Friday night, Brazil style. So looking forward to that. Thanks for being here with us on a Wednesday. It's a big day here in Memphis, because Memphis women's soccer is getting ready to take on the highest ranked opponent they've ever played, Jason?
Correct. Number 2 Tennessee, highest ranked opponent Memphis has ever faced. Will happen in the regular season, yes.
Ever.
Yes.
I mean, that is quite something. Well, that's going to happen, and that's tomorrow at 7 p.m. Thursday night, but we're going to catch up with Brooks Monaghan, Memphis women's soccer coach, today in advance of that game tomorrow. I mean, they've done everything that, you know, you could ask them to do. They've knocked off every SEC team. It's like that Grim Reaper meme. You know, you knock on the door, boom, Missouri, boom, another SEC team, boom, another SEC team. But there's one left, Jason. There's one left that you got to knock off, and that chance comes tomorrow. So Brooks Monaghan is going to join us. I don't know if I could say it's a rivalry between those two because they don't play, right? Mm-hmm. There's just any time Memphis and Tennessee play anything, it's a big moment.
I want to say they, you know, met last year, but this is not something that regularly happens. It might have been a home and home. I could be mistaken, but I want to. Okay. I'll check that. But it's not a regular occurrence, and it usually isn't for this program, which doesn't get to see Tennessee much.
Right.
Memphis program as a whole, the athletic department. Yeah.
Yeah. Even, you know, any sport, right? Like, we just don't see this matchup at all.
Exactly.
So anyway, we'll talk to Brooks Monaghan about that at 11:25 or so. Then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on in the Memphis basketball scene. Saw who's my guy, man? Who's my highest ranked player? DJ Okoth. Mm-hmm. Saw he got bumped to number 9 in the country, I believe, at Rivals or whatever they're called now, yesterday.
I told you when he bumped up to 13 in ESPN, he had a good chance of breaking to top 10s by the time he's done. I mean, he's just a rising sophomore. He's a sophomore over there at Bartlett. And here's one that's already got him in the top 10. So does not surprise me. And keep in mind, it's 6'10 wingspan. on that kid, and he's still growing. That's what folks are salivating over. 6'6",
number,
6'7",
number 6'7", nine in the country.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Right, on three slash rivals. Do you think, like, I mean, I don't know, who was the he'd be the highest ranked guy from Memphis. I'm not counting James because he wasn't, you know, he got moved here his senior year. Who's like the last guy that was in the top 10? I think Kennedy might have even been outside the top 10.
I've certainly by the time it was done, yeah, right? I think maybe at some point he was inside it, but by the time he was done, he was out. And I could be making that up, that he was inside it.
He was 11th, actually. So he was close.
Yeah, I think again, he started inside. We've had some flirting with it. And DJ might end up outside. I didn't want to pencil him in already. But again, it's the body, which is Kenny Chandler ended up small in stature, you know, small guard. That ends up coming back in terms of professionally NBA chances. But with DJ, he is the prototypical. We talked about it when he rose up to 13. He's the prototypical frame. He's what the NBA wants right now, the quick twitch athleticism. But more importantly, he's got that Jalen Williams wingspan. 6'10", 6'11", still growing. By the time it's done, it could be 7 feet or more. And so with all of that, and he's just a sophomore, still growing, yeah, man, sky's the limit for this one. I don't know. You might have to go back. You know, before, you know, way back.
Adonis
flirted with top 10 and probably stayed there for most of the time.
What did he end up? Probably slightly outside, huh?
I think so. By the time they came back, whether it's Joe or all these guys, seemed like they got sort of that Memphis bump out by the time it was all over. But
if Adonis was seventh.
There you go. He's in it.
So you got to go back.
Good call.
To
good call.
2011. And, you know, like, even like,
what about, Black, what, how high did Austin get? He's not top.
He never got top 10.
Okay, just make sure. I'm just making sure we didn't skip anybody.
He finished like 20th, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I knew it was up there. Didn't make McDonald's game, though. We're talking about McDonald's guys.
Man, exactly.
His was political. He should have been in it. But, yes, no, I think
he finished 29th, bro.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. I think it's Adonis. You know, last time we had a top 10 from here, from Memphis.
Man, that's a long time. 14, 15 years?
Well, I mean, everybody you talk to tells you we don't produce them like we used to, you know, in terms of Memphis.
Most of them, if they do get to a certain spot, they end up leaving, right? Like, you think there's a good chance that, you know, DJ stays in Memphis his whole time here? I mean, that's kind of where that's where my head would go.
I think there's a much better chance of it now, John, so long as that Tennessee Collegiate Academy is out there. You know, a team like that that's going to be saying, you don't need to go to Montverde. You don't need to go to these other schools. You can come right here. It's in your backyard, essentially. We'll school you up at Tipton-Rosemark, and you'll play the national schedule right here in your backyard. As we said, we talked to Curtis Givens, the III's father, about this, and he said, if it had been here, if a place like Tennessee Collegiate Academy had been open then Curtis doesn't go to Montverde. Curtis is staying here. And so that's what this new opportunity opens up, a chance to keep a DJ here. Well, that's more bumps for a guy like Penny Hardaway that might bump into him. So you know what I'm saying? We talked about this with James Wiseman when he's going to go to prep school. There's an inherent advantage to having him in town at the local powerhouse prep school. Certainly a Tennessee Collegiate Academy is going to be battling those other schools to keep him. You now have a new option here, John, in Memphis to keep these level of players.
Yep. Absolutely love it. So anyway, we'll talk to her about all of that a little bit later in the show, 125 roundabout. But it's a little later in the week than we're accustomed to because we have a short week here. It takes to the Labor Day holiday. But you thought we were really going to go through a week without doing our favorite segment, Cap or No Cap? Of course we weren't. Let's get it, Brad. We'll do a Cap or No Cap. Cap or No Cap, Jason. Memphis and Arkansas will have a home-and-home series after this exhibition game.
Oh, you put me on the spot. I'm going to go that's cap. I'll believe it when I see it. Listen, I'm hopeful for it. It feels like it's the right time. Read all the columns. John, I read your tweets. Thought Jeff did a really nice job. It Munns did too over the commercial appeal. We talked about it sort of symbolic in the sense that we can finally put all this to bed in a way, symbolically, this time away from Cal and, he can't come back or at least do anything Memphis-related. Certainly while he's the coach of Kentucky, it was cathartic, I think, is how Munns put it, and I think that was well put. Now, to ask for more, you know, to ask for Cal to come here when it counts in the regular season, I think we're asking something that naturally, you know, I don't know that he's, you know, from a competitive standpoint and where Arkansas is now, an SEC that is the best conference in college basketball, he doesn't need it. He still doesn't need it. Now, I realize what still stands up in this discussion, real quick, John, is that, you know, Penny Hardaway losing to Memphis doesn't hurt you. It would not hurt Cal or Arkansas because of the level of program that Penny has built. It's not a bad loss for you, but there's still a lot of pride in that man. And I think in a lot of ways, this is my fear in a way in terms of a home and home. He might feel like he's checked the box in terms of coming back, playing Memphis, doing this by making the part of this exhibition game. I realize in the end, it's the greater good. It's St. Jude. It's for the good. I could see Arkansas, John, maybe being a part of a regular season tournament or something. You know, whatever we, you know, St. Jude turns this into, maybe Arkansas is a regular part. Maybe it's not. But a home and home, as hard as these things are to get done, typically, especially with that level of SEC school, I just have my doubts. I'm gonna say Cap. I know there was a lot of goodwill yesterday, and Penny was trying to get Cal, and you know we wanted him to sign the contract on home and home. I have my doubts that he's gonna ever do it, John. Home and home, neutral, maybe tournament, not home and home. That's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, from a logical standpoint, you know, that's a very good case. I'm going to choose to be optimistic, though, and I'm going to choose to believe that he's going to be overcome with emotion being back in that building with Memphis uniforms and fans. And I'm going to choose to take him at his word that he really wants good things for the city of Memphis. You know, the issue you run into is that, no, like he doesn't need a game with Memphis. But We could frame this in a lot of different ways. We can dress it up however he wants to dress it up. You know, obviously we know Penny is not afraid to go there. I mean, I'd even do a 2-for-1. I know Memphis fans probably won't love that, but I mean, I just think it's such a good game on your schedule that it's worth doing. So I mean, I'm gonna choose to believe that it will happen. There are obviously a lot of obstacles. You know, like you said, you know, just that SEC schedule is the main thing. It's like, you know. It's not like football quite yet where they're telling you to play fewer, non-conference games, but you could certainly see a world where that happens, right? Like, hey, like, you know, let's just play an SEC schedule now. But no, I'm going to say they do it.
This is home and home. Yeah. Now you just said 2-for-1. I'd take that too. That's not what this was though. You said home.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm going to say they do it though. I'm going to say they get it done. I'm going to say that it goes well. That you know, Cal ends up, you know, being open to it. Penny's going to push for it, and you know, I also think, you know, you can, if you're John Calipari, you're not necessarily worried. Like, hey, I can you know, get a win over Memphis. It's not like, you know, and we'll see what it looks like next year. I don't know. Maybe it'll look better than it does right now because I you know, they'll have more money. But I'm going to say yes, if for no other reason than I want an excuse to go to Arkansas. I've never been to an Arkansas home game. This would be an easy excuse to go to Fayetteville.
I hope you're right. And here's my – while I'm saying Cap in terms of him actually doing the home and home, I'm with you 100%. I do believe that was not just sort of coach speak and talking for the cameras. Cal does want good things for Memphis. Cal has we talked about – much of the talk was about our – you know, maybe our fondest Tigers basketball memories, but he's got fond memories of Memphis, including his children growing up here, growing into, you know, young adults here. And so he does want good for this city. And you know, I hope that it wasn't just, you know, that goodwill does sort of build into a home and home that would certainly help Memphis and help this program if you have it. But just got my doubts, man. I think competitively be tough to suffer a loss to Memphis at FedEx Forum. I just think that'd be tough for John. But hopefully he's far removed from that. Maybe he's far removed from that. Good stuff.
All right. TJ Finley will start at quarterback for Georgia State this weekend against the University of Memphis. Is that Cap or no Cap?
That's asking an awful lot. What did he sign, John, 2 days ago?
Well, he's been with the program since May.
Okay.
But he was just ruled eligible.
Okay.
And he didn't get any work in camp. So it's basically like he signed 2 days ago, I guess.
So, I mean, that's all the stories. That's what I'm saying. If he didn't get any work in camp, how much of the offense has he been able to grasp? I mean, you give him the book back in whatever, even though he wasn't. So you haven't played any of it, is my point. You're still on a short – you're on a, you know, incredibly tough challenge here in terms of getting prepared for a start. I realize he's got starts in his college career, and last week you played two and didn't get you much against Ole Miss. But to throw him out there – you know, right off the bat, I don't know, man. I just think you you're I don't know, that's just that's a tall order for that kid, even with him being what, sixth year? That's I don't see it. I think they'll go with what they know, which is one of the two, and maybe getting it ready for the kid, but maybe they'll surprise him.
Yeah, so the coach, Georgia State's coach, who is Del McGee, year two, did not name T.J. Finley the starter did not even confirm that he would see the field. But he did say one thing that you do grasp from him is his leadership and his command. He doesn't mind confronting guys. And he went on to talk about, you know, the fact that he didn't get camp in, but he said it's not like this is brand new to him. Like, we just brought in a free agent from the NFL and we're teaching him the playbook. He understands that part of it. So, I mean, I think we are going to see him because the other two quarterbacks were so bad. Christian Velu and Cameron Brown combined for 69 yards on 25 attempts last game. I think we're just going to see him thrown out there because the coach is like, at least this guy has talent and he can't be any worse than our other two. So I think we will see him. You know, you're at home, you're 14-point underdog. Why not? You know, but do I think he'll be good? Is it can you expect him to come out there and like do anything? I don't recall him being great when he played. Do you?
No. Not particularly.
I know he played a lot of big spots, but like there's a reason he's on his sixth school in 6 years. I mean,
two seasons at Auburn, six starts and 13 appearances, 1,258 passing yards, seven touchdowns, five picks, hit the portal again after 2022. I mean, there's just never been any consistency unless you're going all the way back to when he threw for 3,400.
He had one year in 2023, yeah.
That's Texas State, right?
Yep.
I mean, I guess you could say they got nothing to lose, Georgia State. You ran the ball well against Ole Miss, and maybe you feel like this guy gives you a jolt because the other two guys were awful. But you also saw them, and you spent all camp installing the offense in those guys. You already ready to kick it to the bucket for some mercenary? You know, kick it to the curb for some mercenary? Throw him in? What if he's not good? You're saying start, right? That was the cap or no cap. No, I don't think he starts. Maybe he gets some time, but he's not starting.
Right, right. Other than
that
one.
Over.
Say again?
You're just handing your team over. You know, to a guy that's never proven that he deserves these chances. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Tulane bringing in Retzlaff, you know, who was proven last year. But they did that. I mean, they kind of handed their team over to Retzlaff late in the year. But again, I think he's coming off of a much better year than T.J. Finley is. But we'll see. I don't really know if it matters.
What kind of shape is he in? All of that stuff. Right. I mean, all that's got to matter when you're on. You got 1 week to prepare here. Less than that now. Just wouldn't make a. Doesn't tell that doesn't smell of successful college football coach. A guy that's just throwing it off to. Because he feels like he got nothing to lose by week two of the season. I'd stick with the plan and have him as an option. But obviously with a quick button to change.
Absolutely. So it doesn't matter to me whether or not T.J. Finley plays or starts. Like, Memphis is a huge favorite. You know, Memphis should get this done pretty easily. But it does add a little bit of intrigue to the game. You know, like, if this guy does get in, like, what's he got? I just that Texas State, you know, they're kind of a freaky offense, you know, like they go crazy tempo. They throw the ball a billion times a game. That ain't what they're doing at Georgia State, bro. You know, like they ain't playing that kind of football down there. They're just trying to run the ball, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're just trying to 4 yards is a cloud of dust. So regardless, I don't think you need to worry your sweet head, okay, Jason?
You don't need to worry. Hopefully this is the last time we'll see Georgia State. You were worried about that. You know, why are we playing this game?
Jonah
Dillon had
that
story about the deal. The original deal was signed in 2014 for this home-and-home. It was supposed to be done in 18. You were supposed to have played the games in 2017 and 2018. It is 2025. So they've had to amend this deal. They've had hurricanes that have changed the schedule and forced date changes. This goes back, I mean, Tom Bowen, this is pre-Laird Veach, man. So this is, Jonah said it best to sum it all up. It's like 11 years that you've been trying to get this series done, and this will be hopefully the end of this thing.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I started the week asking, like, why in the hell is this happening? Well, we got, you know, we got our answer. Jonah Dillon went through it. Yep. Like, this was agreed to at a very different time. It's kind of amazing to think about how long ago that was. Like, this game was agreed to in 2014.
In February 2018, Memphis Georgia State amended the deal again. Instead of playing Memphis paying the buyout to get out of it, they would reschedule the game for 2023. That date was later moved back to September 6, 2025.
See, that's what they should have done. They should have just bought out, right? They should have bought out. And like, because to me, it was almost like you're almost kind of hedging. You know, you're like, you don't think the program will be in a better place in 2023? Like, of course it will, the way that thing was going. I would have just paid the money and just gotten out of it. It's not the end of the world because, you know, you're a huge favorite, but like, it's noticeable that Memphis is going on the road to play this game.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. You know, they'll be done with it, and hopefully, I mean, I think whoever's, you know, who's the people in charge of scheduling now will never schedule like that again. I mean, I'll give them a little bit of grace in 2014. That was very much like, that was the first year of Fuente's success.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't know. You didn't necessarily assume that it was going to be as good as that for the next 10 to 15 years.
100%.
You know? So I give them grace there. But now, if you're scheduling for Memphis, I mean, it's got to be the Boise States, right? It's got to be the Boise
That's
States.
That's who I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're not going to get it, you know, you're going to tap the, you know, ring the Big Ten's phone. Maybe ring somebody in the Big 12 again. I'm assuming nobody in the SEC is picking up anymore because they've got to play that other outside the nine conference, the one Power Four, right, non-conference game. Who in the SEC is going to play you? We've talked about, you know, maybe Arkansas, right. Mississippi State buying you out. So that's what I'm saying. I'm turning either to ACC or Big. I'm going to try that first, and then yes, John, having a Boise State. Continually, much like we've compared it to Memphis and Gonzaga in basketball years ago when Cal was here and how it benefited both programs, that game makes too much sense. I mean, Boise did it this year essentially with South Florida, and they're playing you, what, again next year? So they already are of this mind, right? Let's play one of the top teams in the AC. And now the way it's lined up where it's typically these two conferences battling for the CFP spot, that's the way to make this thing a real rivalry. So I would absolutely try to have Boise on every year. You know, if I could.
Yep. Agreed. It benefits both teams. You know, we'll see how it goes after that contract is up. But yes, those are the kinds of teams you have to have to think about. All right, the Dallas Cowboys, who kick their season off tomorrow against the Philadelphia Eagles, which, by the way, I think that number is now out to 8. The Cowboys will still go over their win total even without Micah Parsons.
What's that number? What's that total?
I believe it is 7.5.
Whew. It's 8.5.
It might be 6.5, but let me check on that.
I'm looking at the number on ESPN.
Parsons, it was 7.5. I don't believe it would move. I'm going to say we're just going to go with 7.5.
Okay, and then the number I'm looking at is Philly's favored by 8.5. Over at ESPN bet, it's at 8.5. So
some real money has come in on the Eagles here.
My lean is yes, is to over, that they'll still get this done because offensively they should be pretty good. Why would they not be? You know, Dak was force feeding CD, and CD still had a pretty good damn season. Well, now you're taking some of the attention off of him by having George Pickens. I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot you can do with this pass game, and so I'll go over because. And here's the thing: that defense is going to be better against the run with the defensive tackle they got from Green Bay. That's happening. I mean, Jerry's trying to sell it as that, and this is how we get to Super Bowl. That part's not happening. But they are going to be better against the run. Here's the thing. When you trade Micah Parsons up out of there, everybody's got to step up. And frankly, mm-hmm. a lot of folks, most of us, have written them off. And so I figure you're going to have a lot of pride on that defensive side, that locker room, say it wasn't just a one-man show. And so maybe you play a little bit better. You're taking a step back defensively, don't get me wrong. But maybe you play a little bit better because guys, again, whether it's pride, whether it's whatever competitive fire, whatever it is, you're saying we're not just a one-man defense. And so with all that, yeah, you get over 7.5. Can we get to 8? Yes, you can get to 8.
Yeah, I think so. Now, you know, the problem just is, like, it becomes a Bengals-type season like we saw last year, you know?
Yeah, they won't get stops, probably. And, I mean, that'll be part of it.
How many games did the Bengals win last year? They won 8. They can't possibly have won 8 unless they had a tie. So what the hell happened there? I don't know what their win total was. I don't know how many they won. They were an 8 or 9 win team last year. I think they won 9 games. There you go. They won 9 games. So that's what you're kind of talking about, you know, an 8 and 9 type of year. I'll agree with you. It's a good offense.
It's a good offense, and they should be stout up the middle defensively. Yeah. With the big boy, with Kenny.
They're just going to have to win, you know, 34 to 31 type games, which is hard to do.
And I thought I heard on Get Up, the Parsons leaving didn't really affect the number, or did it? Did you say that? That's what I thought.
It probably, like, you know,
the season
juice,
win
right?
total. Yes. Yeah, the juice changed.
But, yeah, I don't think it fundamentally changed the number, though. Yeah. No. I don't think he's worth a whole win. Points on the spread for sure, but not a win. Anyway, we agree. Both say over on the Dallas Cowboys, although they will not get there this weekend. They will not or tomorrow. They will not get one tomorrow. all right, and then finally, American tennis is cooked. Cap or no cap?
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I was watching last night. I was watching our man Fritz. Maybe technically I wouldn't have been, but when I saw and read that he is our last American man standing at the U.S. Open and our best chance, and he was seated higher than Djokovic, Novak. We call him Joker too, don't we? Just like we
yes.
call okay, yeah, yep. Joker. He was seated
both Serbian.
But then I saw something going into the match. I was like, this makes this even more intriguing. Djokovic had never lost to an American at the U.S. Open. He was undefeated. Even this guy who's clearly past his prime and on the downhill slide, and man, you saw it. There was a "we'll see" quote about whether Fritz is ready to take the next step that Djokovic had put out there. Man, and he backed it up. He's like, "This kid is not ready for me yet." And so he was playing to the crowd and everything. And very early on, that match had sucked me in. To answer your question, because I was surprised. I'm watching U.S. Open tennis last night. There wasn't much else on, though. But to answer your question, it's done. I mean, if Fritz is the best we have, and we can't knock off, and you saw all the pre-promotion stuff that Fritz was like, this is the time. I've played Djokovic. I've matured. I've grown. I can beat him now. Couldn't get it done. If we can't knock off Novak, who can we beat? I mean, we certainly ain't beating Sinner and the rest of them. So, I don't know. I've been trying to get behind an American man in tennis for a while. I just don't know that Fritz doesn't look like the guy. So it don't have to be somebody else.
You're right. I should have specified American men's tennis.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, you have to. Yeah,
the women are just fine.
No, this is just the men. This is just the men's side. Men's tennis is dead.
We got Coco. We got Taylor. We got Taylor Goff. Taylor Townsend. We got is Naomi?
She just beat Coco, if I'm not mistaken.
I know,
night.
But Naomi's. Soccer. Is she American?
I believe so.
I mean, I know she's Japanese as well, but like, who does she? Does she? She doesn't represent America,
I thought she did. I might be completely wrong.
All right, this one I don't know. I mean, this is about
American men, dude, not about the women.
But I'm just going through the, you know, we're proud of our women, no question about it. The men, though, yeah. I mean, I think. It's not a sport that we prioritize, right? It's not a very sexy sport in terms of, like, you know, television and where we put our kids to play. So I think we're gonna have a hard time.
We needed it to be Tiafoe. That was your man you were championing, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, 2 years ago. Francis Tiafoe. Big Foe is what they call him. He wears it around his neck. He lost. I watched him earlier in this thing. I can't remember how many rounds ago, but he got knocked out. He brings the athleticism and everything else to it, but I don't know. In the end, man, when he's got to hit those winners in the pressure situations, he hasn't risen to become that. Fritz has not shown himself capable, so I don't know that we've got that guy out there right now.
No, I mean, Ben Shelton is the guy that everybody says. you know, and they say if he had not had gotten hurt in this U.S. Open, he would have he would have had a chance. But I don't know. I mean, I just don't like I don't know if anybody's beating Sinner or Alcaraz anyway. So it's like the same thing. Maybe you can get to the semis against one of them, but you're not getting past them. So I think we're just going to have to settle for third at best. Djokovic
put
retires.
Put a tennis racket in Dom's hands. You know, let him be next. Let him be next.
Tough. I mean, I don't even know how. Like,
this is a tennis center.
Where do you go.
We got a tennis center here in Memphis. It's part of the. Isn't it connected to the U of M over there? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of courts you could raise him up on out there in Germantown.
Yeah.
Next.
Maybe that's. We got pickleball. I know that. Can't get away from that. Out here. But anyway. All right. We're going to come back. We'll talk to Brooks Monaghan. We'll get his thoughts on the big game tomorrow. You know, Tennessee coming to Memphis. How about that? Highest ranked opponent ever for Memphis women's soccer. We'll catch up with him about everything that's going on with his program and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Joins us now. Coach, first off, thanks for joining us, man. And congrats, brother. This is becoming commonplace. I mean, I thought this year maybe a little bit of a reset, seeing that you've got, you can tell me, maybe the youngest team you've ever had, and here you are having already knocked off three SEC opponents and off to a 5-0 and nationally ranked start. Congrats on it, and what's been the key, brother?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you. And, this is. Going into my 26th year, it is, on paper, the youngest team that I've ever coached. So we've got one senior, two juniors, and 25 freshmen and sophomores. So, you know, obviously I'm extremely proud of the girls. I'm proud where we are. Didn't know we would be in this position because as a coach, you always try to be realistic. And, you know, so I think we're doing a little bit better than maybe what we should be doing on paper. But, hey, we'll take it.
You've only allowed, by my count, three goals all season, Coach. Like we talked about, that comes with three wins over SEC opponents, including giving up nothing, a 1-0 shutout of Vanderbilt. What's been the key defensively to start this pressure that you've been able to apply?
Yeah, I think there's several things, right? I mean, one, we've got, you know, a good goalkeeper. Two, not only do we have Finley Lavin, who's one of our captains, you know, who's a junior with a lot of experience, you know, kind of leading the back line, but it's just the way I think the group works together. You know, I call them a unit, and I think they've been a pretty strong unit. And, you know, obviously you're playing for everybody on your team, but they kind of play for each other, and you know, it's worked so far. So overall, we've done a pretty good job defensively, but we will definitely have our hands full tomorrow night, and they will for sure be tested.
This opportunity tomorrow, before we get to it, and you know, ask you all about Tennessee, which I think is, you know, this is the highest ranked they've ever been at number two. This opportunity. Putting these together, Coach, you know, we're at a time in college athletics where maybe even on the football side, it's going to be harder and harder to get SEC opponents. They got their conference schedule and everything else. And yet you've been able to put together these powerhouse schedules that's included this Tennessee team. But like we mentioned, you've already knocked off three SEC teams. How difficult a task is that? Is it at a point, Coach, where you've built this thing up now, the program's got so much of a national reputation that folks are happy to schedule you? Just in terms of putting these kinds of matchups like tomorrow night on the regular season schedule, how have you been able to do it?
Well, I think that's credit to where the program is, right?
Yes.
And, you know, everybody plays to win, but there are such things as, you know, not so bad losses, right? So
100%.
when we've been able to consistently be, you know, kind of a top 25 program, I think that these other, you know, bigger schools, you know, they're like, why not? You know, because if we can win, it's a good win. And if we happen to not win, it's not a bad loss.
Right.
Right. So that's credit to years before and probably just the reputation and then just the consistency of our program over the years.
You know how we feel down here in our little corner of West Tennessee about UT. And I'll speak for myself as a Memphis grad. I'm not going to include you, although you are a Memphis grad. This opportunity tomorrow night, I imagine, you know, I've been calling it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the biggest regular season matchup, at least in my time here, monitoring, covering you guys. This opportunity tomorrow against number two Tennessee, how big is it?
Yeah, I think it's massive. I really do. I mean, I'm super excited to have our young, you know, team get to go toe to toe with such a good team in Tennessee. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, it's really, and we just finished practice here a little bit ago, and the pressure's on them. The pressure is on them, you know, and we're usually in a place where the pressure's on us. You know, playing in our league and whatnot. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to sit there and say, oh, it's just, you have nothing to lose, but you got to kind of take a little bit of that mentality into this game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and you've used the word. That's what we've used. It's an opportunity, right? So it is massive. It's great to be able to, you know, bring a team that's ranked number two, you know, to Memphis in front of our fans and just, you know, for, you know, I told the kids today, you know, you're not just representing, you know, our program, you're representing the school, you're representing the city, because anytime in any sport Memphis matches up against UT, it's an opportunity, right? It's
100%.
An opportunity to show the world that we are for real here at Memphis.
Well, it's that and, I mean, you get a chance to play a team that frankly isn't playing you in some sports, right? You don't get to do that anymore, it seems like, in basketball for whatever else, but it feels like this, Coach. It feels like, you know, the rest of women's soccer, you know, for the entire state, when you've got number two versus number 14 and a number 14 team that's very capable of being top 10, hopefully we'll break into that pretty soon. But that's great for the state. And when you've got all eyes, in this case, in women's college soccer looking at you, well, that's pretty good for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, you didn't mention, right? I mean, we did. We were fortunate. We got the result against Vanderbilt, who was number 11, right? They're in the state as well. So, no, it is, man. It's such a great opportunity. Really excited about it. I know our kids are you know, extremely excited for the challenge. It's not going to be easy. You know, we're going to have to be at our best to give ourselves a chance, but, really, really looking forward to it.
What is it that they do best, Coach, this Tennessee team that you've been able to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, one, they're extremely athletic, but yet they play very, you know, attractive soccer. You know, they've got some really good depth, so there are no weaknesses. And, you know, and I know I'm repeating myself, but that's why you've got to, you know, all the little fine details that come into the game, we've got to be very, very sharp. And, you know, we've got to be able to match them physically, and then hopefully with our soccer and brand of soccer, we're going to be able to hopefully break them down. But like I said, it's not going to be an easy task, but, you know, you know, I'm sitting here. I know you can't see me, but my legs are kind of shaking because I'm ready to go, man. And I know our girls are, but it'll be here before we know it.
Well, hopefully the city's ready to get behind you too. What can you get out there in terms of attendance? And didn't you just set, I want to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, an attendance record, whether it was last year, within the last couple of years? What can we get out there for this matchup? How many are you hoping to have?
Yeah, no, we're hoping to have a few thousand for sure. Yeah, and it was a couple years ago when we 2 years ago when we hosted the NCAA. But, you know, obviously we're in renovations, right? They've knocked down the stands because we're building, you know, our new facility, the Liza Welford Fletcher Stadium, right? So they've demoed all the stands. So we've just encouraged fans to bring their lounge chairs out. We've got some temporary seating, but, you know, I would say you get there early if you want to get on the front row because, you know, just with the stands being demoed in preparation for the new facility, just be patient with us. But we've had some amazing atmospheres up to this point, you know, with the games of Missouri, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss. We've had some great crowds. So hopefully the fans have enjoyed it and will be coming back out tomorrow night.
Well, it's been a long time coming in terms of the stadium and everything you've helped build this program to. And just for the program itself, I can't imagine, and I haven't gone through every AAC team's schedules, but that they'll be any more prepared a squad than you for conference play based on what everybody you've seen in this non-conference matchup. How does the rest of the league look, Coach? A little quick preview of the rest of the league.
Yeah, no, you know, last year was tough, right? Because the only match we lost was to Tennessee by a goal at their place last year and then in the conference championship, and our league was down and we had a few ties and it hurt us. our league is in a better shape this year. Some teams are doing really well. Some I wish were doing a little bit better, but I think overall it's better because ultimately we put this schedule together, you know, to not have to win the conference tournament championship, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you can't control how other teams do. Last year, you know, we played some big teams and, you know, they may have had off years. So it was tough. But right now I feel like with where our league is and the schedule we've put together, we're putting ourselves in a good spot. Obviously, we got to continue to win games, though.
Congratulations, Coach, on this. Another fantastic start, man. You've built this thing into a national power, and you know, we want to make sure we give you the flowers while you're still doing it. I can't believe it's 26 years. I look at you, you don't look a year over 26. It's kind of crazy. You've been doing this at Memphis for 26 years. Memphis native, Memphis grad, and he's giving it all back to the university, man. I can feel your excitement through the microphone, Coach, about tomorrow night. Hopefully the city's going to be there for you, brother.
Yeah. I plead to the city, please come out and support these girls. They deserve it. And, you know, really looking forward to this one. And like I said, really appreciate you having me on today.
Coach, it's always a pleasure. Take care. He is Coach Brooks Monaghan. Make sure you're supporting his number 14 ranked Tigers. They take on number 2 ranked Tennessee, the highest ranked opponent Memphis has ever faced. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on the Park Avenue campus. Be there or be square. Hey, this is Tennessee, man. You get behind Tennessee.
Thanks,
you get
Coach.
Behind Memphis when they're playing Tennessee, and you get out there. That's Coach Brooks Monaghan. Appreciate Coach.
Black Tie Movement is changing movement in the city of Memphis. We all know that. When you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life that matter to you, that are important. And that's where they come in. They're going to help you get your stuff taken care of, moved, place where it needs to be. Not going to scratch up your walls. Show up when they say they're going to show up. Stay on budget. I mean, these are things that are taken for granted in 2025. Black Tie does it every single day. They're going to get the red carpet treatment, the Black Tie treatment every single time you go with Black Tie. But you got to get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. Get on the schedule because it books up fast. Black Tie Movement, change the movement in the city of Memphis. So, Jason.
Yes.
I, as you know, am going to Disney World with my children for the first time in November. And I just booked the tickets. And Brad, do we have overtime opportunities? Like, can I maybe do like some MUS games or something?
Like, they got a voice already, dude. Don't you? That's Jeffrey's territory.
I just want to run the board.
Pick another school.
I just want to run the board. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. Now, didn't you go to Disney World in like the last, or you went to Disney somewhere?
Whatever
didn't you?
The one in California is.
And did you recall if you felt like the tickets were outrageous back then?
Faith got them. Yep, I got the flights.
That's the hustle right there.
She handled it, and I got the fast pass. And you have to do all that. Upgrade everything. Pay the strength, as Magic Johnson would say. Pay it. It'll be worth it.
Yeah. $2,300, brother, for me, Sam, and Riley. Dominic, thank God, is still free because he's under 2 years old. But if he was just a smidge older, that it would have been a $3,000 ticket situation just for 5 days.
Those are some expensive pictures that you're going to be taking because that's what it's going to amount to. One of your kids is not going to remember it. And
that's
Riley,
right. I mean, they both might not. They both.
And Riley is probably still so young, right? That, you know, 10 years from now, she'll have a couple of flashes of memory and being in there, but she ain't gonna remember every bit of it. And so, you know, more power to you, bro, because you just throwing the money away.
We haven't even gotten into
my kids. Got to remember if I'm spending $2,000. You know, you better like this kid, and recognize.
We haven't even gotten into accommodations yet, brother.
That's ridiculous.
We haven't even gotten into food yet, brother.
You guys should go to a Tigers football game. It's a much better deal. You know?
It is.
That's what you should be spending your money with.
Well, September 20th is my plan. But I just read, like, I saw an article today in the New York Times about Disney, as a matter of fact, as I'm booking these tickets. And the article is Disney and the Decline of America's Middle Class. I don't know how people would do this. I think they don't do it. It's my assumption. Or they take out credit card debt to do it, which is you know, a really sad thing to think about.
Well, it's a one-time thing, and that's what it's going to be for us. Like, I'm not taking Chris back to Disney. He gets it one time, and I didn't, you know, right. I didn't even pay for the tickets. Like I said, I took my right. flight. We had to team up to do this, and that's the thing. Well, that's why we waited until, you know, until the age he was, and yeah. cuz this is going to be it, kid. We don't have the money to do this every year, and we want you to remember it. We want it to be a nice core core memory for you. And everything else. And so that was the point, because we're not going to be able to afford to do this again. And so I imagine for a lot of families, if you can, it's going to be, that's where we are now. It's going to be a one-time thing that you probably plan maybe even years in advance for. But that was sort of us. I have no intention of ever going back, because Chris will age out at this point. Mm-hmm. He's done it. So I just think that's the way
to do it now. I think it's a 10,000. If you have a family of four or more, God forbid, it's a $10,000 trip. I mean, if you're going to go down there for a week and you're going to stay and you're going to eat and you're going to do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to spend. So
that's why there's a need for Liberty Land to come back. You know, a place here in Memphis. A place here in Memphis like we used to have.